So they are leveraging this new technology, but like for the customer, everything stays the same.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's show is about how to use artificial intelligence to make your customer experience more impactful and personalized. Customer experience is the internal and subjective response people, or customers, have to any direct or indirect contact with a company. Direct usually is in the course of a purchase or use or service and is usually initiated by the customer. However, indirect contact can involve unplanned encounters. So it could be something to do with coming in contact with the products or services or brands, could be word of mouth, recommendations or criticisms, advertising, news reports, reviews, and so forth. It might simply be an email from one customer to another. Today, I'm with Clemens Behrend, who is the founder of Web3CX, which designs Web3 customer experience solutions. I'm so happy to have you on the show, Clemens. Maybe we could start with you telling me a little bit about your background and how you got into this and where you started and what led you to found Web3CX.
So first of all, thanks for having me. My name is Clemens Behrend. I'm the founder of Web3CX, and we help crypto companies and also Web3 companies to reduce friction and barriers for their customers. So we aim for making products as easy to use as possible. And my background is I worked for several years in the crypto industry. I scaled up the customer support of Bitpanda, Austria's first unicorn. I did this from 2017 to 2022. Overall, my passion for customer service was already created in a very young age when I had like my first company, which was about like selling like computer games and like CD keys. So that was my first touch point with customer service. So actually I'm in this field since my whole working career, and I really love like to help people and also like to achieve like a proper service, because I think like with all the products, no matter how great they are, if you use them and you need help, you also want to have an amazing customer experience as part of that product.
Exactly. So before we look at exactly what you're doing now, what would you say are some of the challenges companies face with customer experience?
So the number one challenge I see that companies are facing with customer service and customer experience is like AOI management. So we have the big challenge that like every customer support manager and agent, when they speak, for instance, about like tickets and backlog and all about these numbers, other people have a hard time imagine anything. So for instance, if I tell you we have like 100 tickets in our backlog, so nobody really knows, is this a lot, is it less? So what we try to achieve is that we can translate customer service words into financial numbers, so into AOI. So that like managers know like what's the point when we invest in customer service or customer experience and how much we can gain out of it. Nice. And then of course, like other challenges, which I would consider like easier to understand, is of course like customer retention and customer acquisition. And as I already mentioned in my intro, the ease of use of a service, and especially like the North Star metric number one, what I see for customer experience is like the customer effort score. So usually this is like a metric what you ask at each touch point to the customer, how easy was it to contact customer service or to do this step in an app or like in any other product.
Yeah, I can see how that first one, the return on investment kind of management, would be a big one, because it, even though it's so critical to get your customer experience right, I can see that that may be something that needs to be explained in numbers. So that's really amazing that you're actually working on return on investment management as well as the other areas which are really important. What are some examples of very poor customer experience that you've seen in the past?
Well, what did I see of poor customer service in the past? I have to be like self-critic at this point, like also to the whole industry where I'm working at, because like the crypto industry is like everything what people don't know about money and also about computers or the internet in one thing combined. That's why it makes it like so difficult to do customer service in there. And since most people noticed, we had like a hype in 2021, we had a hype in 2017. So there are like always some, every few years, there's a big hype in the crypto industry. And usually during these hypes, there are like exchanges who have like a ticket backlog of like 500,000. And as I said, like earlier, ticket numbers are usually not understood, but when I tell somebody there's a backlog of 500,000 tickets, then everybody says like, okay, that's a lot. To calm everybody down, this was never the case. At Bitpanda, we always had like way lower backlogs and were like reachable and so on. But of course, I talk like with other people from the industry a lot and other companies. And I think the biggest number what I heard so far was like this 500,000 tickets. I think also on Twitter, you might find references, so it's not really a secret that like some exchanges struggled in this area.
That does sound like a lot. What would you say are the key impediments to good customer experience in that case?
So first of all, we need to do like proper training for our employees. I think that's the most important thing, because like when a customer speaks to an agent, he expected the agent knows everything about cryptocurrencies, or at least like how to use them and like how to overcome the challenges. Then also you need like a good company culture where people are motivated and also committed to the customer, where they really realize, and I think that's like the best thing about customer service, that people are usually very committed because they know that the customer who they are talking to is actually paying their salary. Yeah. So that's like one ingredient for good customer experience. Of course, then overall you need like sufficient resources, you need the feedback from the customers. Also, you need like to be consistent across different communication channels regarding the quality, and also you need to have like personalization, also a proper communication. And I think we can also give there like later in the podcast a few examples for the audience.
Yeah, I think the personalization also really helps the AI aspect we can talk about in a minute. What about when you have a client and you are designing a great customer experience? How do you go about that process?
So first of all, what we ask the client always, like what we can do for you. So that's like the number one question. Mm-hmm. Usually they have like, very often they already know like somehow what's the issue, what's the current state. But let's assume for a second that the person would not know anything. So of course, we would do like a customer journey mapping so that we see like what's the current state. And then we would focus like on different aspects. So for instance, like if we focus on empathy, consistency, that we use the customer feedback, that we invest in the right tools, and that we also train the staff.
Yeah. And so because this podcast is about AI and pharma, let's think about artificial intelligence and the role it plays in customer experience. Could you talk to that a little bit? What kind of things you think where AI can ease and improve the customer experience?
So first of all, a lot of people, when I tell them that I work in customer service in the crypto industry, they very often assume it's like the hardest thing what you can do like in terms of customer service. But I think that's wrong. So I think like the pharma industry is the industry with the highest expectations when it comes to like customer experience and also the most difficult ones. So I think where we can use and leverage AI in this industry is for predictive analysis. So for instance, we have like data and we see like certain patterns, I don't know, like in nutrition, which leads then to certain diseases. And of course, when you work like with these huge data sets with AI, you can analyze them more easier. But what's important to know there, that you can only use existing knowledge. You cannot like create something new, because AI has like a big limitation. It only understands the things which are already there. Then, of course, where you can also use AI in the pharma industry is, for instance, like with the whole appointments and booking things. So this is, I think, like the first touch point in the most customer experience journeys with the pharma industry. You have to reach out to the doctor, you have to get an appointment. And I think they are doing this like with some virtual assistant can be really efficient. And also in the pharma industry, I think where we can leverage AIs, especially about like topics as fraud detection, because like in every industry, where's like a lot of money, as it's in the crypto industry or in the pharma industry, it always attracts people who are doing scams and other suspicious behavior.
Interesting. Yes, I think that certainly with prediction, we worked on a project a few years ago, which was for a call center, for a pharma call center, where doctors and patients were calling up with questions. And the project was actually using AI to predict from the very first few words what they were going to ask and what was the areas that the agent needed to focus on. In more recent times, using digital humans for things like that actually has enhanced customer experience a lot in both many industries, pharma. I'm just also thinking about telecoms and banking. If we think about Erica, the digital human, who's actually Amelia, but they renamed her, that Bank of America are using to do their customer service calls. So they got rid of, I think, about 50% of their customer call center staff and replaced with Erica. And then they did a satisfaction survey afterwards, and they found that their customer satisfaction went up quite dramatically. And I think that was part of the thing you were talking about earlier, because she can answer trillions of calls at the same time. So there aren't these backlog of tickets because every call's answered immediately because it's a digital human doing it. So there's areas like that that I think are very, very interesting that pharma are using AI for customer experience. But I'm sure there's lots of others.
Yeah. And also what I would highlight there, did they tell the customers that they were talking to an AI? Or did they not tell the customer?
I think you would know because her voice is a bit robotic to a degree. But I think they knew, yes, because it was a virtual, you know, digital human.
Okay. But because I think usually when like in the CSAT is going up and when you use AI, and then at the moment when you tell people that they are talking to an AI, then usually CSAT goes down again because people are not really trusting an AI or a robot.
I think it depends on the quality of it. I certainly don't like talking to very simple chatbots that may have a bit of AI in them, but with a digital human of good quality like Amelia, I think that you, even if you change context within the sentence, she can pick it up and understand. So the experience, and also remember every conversation, whereas a human agent can only check the notes. So, yeah, you know, you do get a much better experience. Now, Amazon is a company that's always been, their motto has always been customer first. And they've always had AI embedded in their services. You know, they're one of the first, if not the first, to have AI-powered customer recommendation or suggestion engines. Are there any other companies you see that you think are doing a really great job in customer experience?
So maybe let's take some examples which everybody knows. So I go like for the big corporates and not maybe like the coffee shop around my corner who also has like a great customer experience.
Yeah.
So I would say one example for a really great customer experience is like Starbucks, because like what they sell you is like actually the feeling of being rich. Because like everybody knows when you go to Starbucks and pay like your £5-6 or euros or dollars or whatever for a coffee, that it's like overpriced, but people still love to do it and to go there because they know when they go to a Starbucks, they can expect a certain type of quality. They will get their coffee in and like just their need of being awake and getting their work done. Also, what like Starbucks is doing very great is the personalization part. It's like where they write the name of on the cup from the customer. And of course, people sometimes even make like a joke and funny names, but it's also part of the customer experience that when people enjoy it to give themselves like silly names what they write on the cup, yeah, then I also see it like as part of a good customer experience. Yeah. And on top of that, what Starbucks did really amazing, so a lot of talking is about Web3 now and like all this hype about the crypto industry. So Starbucks rolled out a loyalty program. It's called Odyssey. And the crazy thing there was it's running on blockchain technology in the background. but on the front end in the app, the customer don't even notice. So they are leveraging this new technology, but like for the customer, everything stays the same. So for instance, when there now would be like some customers which had like a bad experience with crypto in the past, they maybe would not like it. But for the people who like crypto, they know that the thing from Starbucks is using this technology, and then they are like super excited about it. So they knew every target group and also like how to present it to them.
Yeah. Interestingly, another company that just sprung to mind then is McDonald's, because McDonald's actually spent many hundreds of millions on AI about in 2019, I believe. And they use it for personalizing the menus for each location. So they discovered that depending on the amount of traffic and the weather and the time of day, what people choose in the drive-thru menu differs quite a lot depending on those factors. So they're using AI to personalize the menu to make it what people, more of what people are looking for based on traffic, weather, and time of day. And you don't think of McDonald's as an AI company, but it's a really interesting use of AI. I really like the Starbucks example too, because I saw this study probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was looking at different brands of the same thing. So there was Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, and there was drugs as well, so Cialis and Viagra for erectile dysfunction. And what was really interesting is that the customers didn't see any difference between two drugs, but they saw vast difference between Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. So it was just showing how we in the pharmaceutical industry tend to have commoditization of our products because we haven't been, in all cases, providing, you know, a very personalized, great customer experience, where Starbucks is a great example of ones that do a really good job on that.
Mm-hmm. There I have maybe one question. So when we say like we got the Viagra, we don't see a difference regarding brands, but for the vaccine, what I noticed, a lot of people said like for some reason they want to have Pfizer and not Moderna. I mean, there were like some studies, especially like for younger people, where they then said like, okay, they should use Pfizer or something. But also like I could hear stories like from my friends where people were actually disappointed or angry when they didn't get Pfizer in the beginning and were offered like another vaccine.
Wow, that's very interesting to hear that. Very interesting. I can see that with some of them, but I am surprised that people would be not wanting Moderna, because I think it's one of the really good ones, as is Pfizer. Yeah. But that's very interesting. So that shows that whatever Pfizer did there to communicate the benefits of what they were doing, it really worked with certain segments.
Yeah, I think in Germany with Pfizer and BioNTech, it was also a little bit different because BioNTech is from Germany. Of course, people were like, yeah, I want to have my local brand. So maybe this was a factor.
Yeah, very interesting. What about companies that have an average product but great customer experience?
Yeah, we already talked about it. McDonald's. Everybody knows like the hamburgers, like nobody ever told me, yeah, the Big Mac is the best hamburger in the world or something like that.
Yeah.
I think they are standardized across the whole world. That's also why we have like this Big Mac index, where we even compare like different states and like inflation data based on the Big Mac, because it's everywhere where you go, like the same product.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the stuff from McDonald's, it's not like insanely great, but the good thing is you go there and you can always expect the same standardized experience, and it's reliable. So you know, like you get your burger there, it has like this quality most of the time, and that's it. So I think like average product, or like even bad and unhealthy product. So of course nobody should ever go to McDonald's, we all know this stuff, but like customer experience, the processes are well designed.
What are there any others? Maybe Starbucks, who we talked about, is similar too.
Yeah, to a certain degree, but like I would not say that Starbucks has bad coffee, right? Maybe overpriced coffee, but the coffee per se, it does the job.
It's fine.
I'm not like I'm not a coffee expert. Maybe in your audience are now people, especially when they are listening from Vienna. Of course, the coffee in the coffee house in Vienna is better than like in Starbucks. But yeah.
So what would you say are the real world advantages for companies that are implementing customer experience very well?
Well, I think it's not really an advantage, but they can make sure that they survive in the long run. So I think it's not really like a choice to offer great customer experience. You have to offer it. Otherwise, you will drop out of the market. I think you can run with bad customer experience for a while. So for instance, we saw this in the crypto industry with Coinbase. Not gonna hate against them. They had like hypergrowth, like 50 million customers or 70 million, I don't know, like, but crazy amount, and everybody knows and agrees on that, like the customer experience and the customer service is not the best. But I think they will need to adapt in the future, because like this industry had such a huge hype, and I think whenever there's like a huge hype, then in the long run the hype will flatten a little bit, the industry will get like more competition, and then of course you also need to improve the customer experience.
What about, do you have any case studies of before and after? So where a company started with poor customer experience and then maybe you worked with them or someone worked with them, and what did they change to improve that to make it good customer experience?
So the number one change what we make with companies usually is that we make it way easier to contact and reach out to the customer support team, or also via the social media channels, because I think like having like omni-channel support is not really a choice today. You have to have it. Of course, like having some part as email support is okay. And there the improvement, it's also when we talk about AI management, it's quite easy to calculate, because like the biggest threat and risk what we see is that you have like customers who don't complain when they are about to leave. Because if they don't tell you why they are leaving or quit using your product, you don't have a chance to hold them and like to keep them as a customer. Of course, you are not able to hold and keep every customer who's about to leave, but what you can improve and what you can change is the amount of people who are quitting and complain to you. So this is something what we did successfully, like with a lot of clients, and also where did we leverage AI in that regard? So depending on how people are writing, we make then different alerts and said like, okay, this user, for instance, on Facebook or Instagram or on email uses this word. It's very likely that he's like outrageous and about to leave. So we move him in the ticket query like to the first place.
Okay, interesting. And then what about some AI examples in some of the customer experience projects that you have done?
So of course, like which is like quite common at the moment is like writing FAQ articles with ChatGPT. I think there, of course, we have like limitations that it cannot use like latest data or other things, but there are like a lot of Chrome extensions to overcome these challenges. So this is definitely something where you can benefit from. Also what ChatGPT can do there really well, it can tell you somehow the structure of like other help centers. So I would not necessarily use it like for every article and step, but to understand you have like a certain product, and then you compare to a competitor, see like how the FAQ is structured, and then you know like somehow what questions you need to answer.
Okay.
Then of course, secondly, my favorite, like the sentiment analytics, so where we see like what words are used, are people talking bad or good about us, especially in the crypto industry. They're the biggest learning what I had for cryptocurrency trading apps is that the number one criteria that people like the app is when they actually make money out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, for the health industry, it's the same thing. In the end, the whole customer experience is secondary. Like when the person at the end gets like healthy again or is not sick anymore, then they are satisfied. So they are like in both industry, like in crypto making money and in health industry getting healthy. These are like the number one criteria that you need to fulfill. And in the crypto industry, what we noticed, it really followed like the Bitcoin price with like 2 weeks delay. So like the CSAT. And I think like for maybe in the pandemic, what we also saw, there would maybe also be like some bigger data sets that we could then break down on an individual level that we realize like at the hospital or wherever we work, like how our patients and or customers, naming them customers feels a little bit wrong because the patients or the visitors are feeling about the service.
Yeah. And so if we go back to pharmaceutical companies, so their customers are the physicians and then the patients is the final customer. So they don't really have contact with the patients because that's, you know, removed. It's the doctor that does. But if the patient calls the call center, they do. So certainly call centers are one area that I think customer experience definitely could be improved with AI. Are there any other areas that you think could be, it could be applied in pharma?
Yeah, I think we talked about it already in the podcast. So you gave this great example where they replaced like certain agents with like some automations. Of course, this is always a way to do it. Then another way could be that you have like an AI assistant who writes the notes for you during a call. So for instance, somebody calls a hospital and or like his doctor and has like an issue. And usually you have to type on your own and cannot really focus on the listening part. So you have to do like two things at the same time. And I think like AI can help you with making the notes that you then have at the end, like a summary, okay, what things do we need to do next to help the patient?
I guess that would apply in the case, I mean, because it's not really pharma seeing patients. But I guess in clinical trials, you could help the doctors as well have the clinical trial experience better that way. That's an interesting thought. Yeah. And so what advice would you give any companies that really want to improve their customer experience?
So the number one advice what I would give companies to improve their customer experience is that they use like the customer effort score as their North Star metric. So at every step of the customer journey where they can, they should like insert like a really, really small survey. So the survey should be designed in a way that it's more work to close the survey instead of filling it out. So because if you just say like, okay, rate it on like scale 1 to 5, it's quicker just to select any number instead of like tapping on the X at the top. Mm. So because like everything about customer experience usually is an opinion.
Yeah.
When we're not talking about financial numbers, when we talk about like other numbers like customer satisfaction, customer effort score, in the end, it's like an opinion. So you should then start asking proactively your customers for their opinion when they go through a process, and then they will tell you. Because like expecting them to go through the whole process and then telling you at the end, yeah, like what went wrong, then you only talk to a small batch. Because when you have a long process of filling out like a form or a contact form or whatever, a lot of people maybe drop off along this journey. And then you never find out why or get feedback from them.
Mm. Interesting. So thank you so much for all of that. Very interesting insights. Mixing crypto and pharma. Never thought about those two together, but very interesting to look at the customer experience across both. If there's anyone who wants to get in touch with you and your team, they can go to web3cx.io. And if you want someone who's got quite a lot of experience in customer experience, thank you so much for your time today. Very interesting discussion.
Thanks for having me. And I can highlight once again, so like our domain is web3cx.io. We work with different companies from cryptocurrency and trading apps, blockchain infrastructure provider, cryptocurrencies text tools or any data analytics tools. And overall, we focus on four main areas. So the first one, as I said in the beginning of the podcast, is AOI management of customer service. I think that's something what we can do for all industries. And I think that's something where like a lot of companies are lagging and hope to get like valuable insights out of it, because when you know like what is the impact of investing in customer service, it makes it more easier to be part of the company strategy overall. Then of course we have like with customer retention and customer acquisition, and last but not least, to improve the ease of use for your service.
Very good. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.